morning from sunny Bristol. Welcome to BDI Resourcing's first ever podcast. Very excited to have with me
Dan. I'm here as one of BDI Resourcing's directors. I'm looking forward to speaking to you all about relocation to the UK.
That's good. You didn't need to read a script for that bit. It's Tom Calver. I'm also one of the directors, and also very, very excited to give you all the information that you want.
Excellent. I'm Ryan from BDI Resourcing, also one of the directors. So without further ado, I think we're going to kick off with a brief explanation about what the NHS is, why it's short of international doctors currently, and I guess how we help.
Yeah, so to kick off, the National Health Service in the UK, the NHS, is one of the world's most renowned healthcare systems, as I'm sure many of you know already. But it does face a chronic shortage of staff, in particular for doctors.
Why is that, Dan?
Yeah. Well, there's currently around 10,000 doctors vacancies across the NHS. And I think the reasons, they are numerous, but I suppose predominantly comes down to the fact that the NHS simply can't train and retain enough doctors internally. And of course, we've got a growing population with growing needs. The population's getting older. We've got different kind of diseases that are getting more and more difficult to treat. So, I guess that leaves us with a really, really difficult problem of how do we staff that? And I think that was one of the main reasons we started BDI Resourcing, really.
I think when we started it as well, it was we thought that it would be really hard to find people to get into the NHS, because that's traditionally the problem that they face is finding staff. So they put adverts out online, obviously NHS jobs, BMJ jobs. And that actually, if we just got the hospitals on site and said, look, we've got all these doctors, that they would bite our hands off to come get them and help us move to the UK. And actually, it's been the opposite issue. It's actually just educating the NHS as to what international recruitment is, because I don't think it's utilised enough as a recruitment strategy. And actually, probably, testament to the fact that maybe people might listen to this, I'm not quite sure yet, but there's lots and lots of doctors out there that still want to come to the UK. It's still like a destination of choice for training, for lifestyle. It's certainly, there's places in the Middle East, I'm sure, and in America, where you can earn a lot more money being a doctor. But I think what the NHS represents, what it stands for, and the sort of, I guess, the research and training opportunities and the opportunities for people's families, those are the main sort of reasons that people want to come here. And it's still a real place to come. But for some reason, NHS itself can't attract staff directly.
Mm. Yeah.
Because that's actually a really good point, Tom. I mean, one of the kind of biggest questions we always get asked is why would an international doctor need to come to a company like ours for help? And why can't the NHS do this directly? And I think for me, there's obviously there's a couple of reasons behind that. One of the big reasons is it's just time. I think the NHS does a fantastic job. Medical staff and departments are amazing at what they do. We are a really fast growing company, and we don't have the time. I mean, we need to employ more and more staff just to keep up with the kind of demand. And you can imagine what a medical staffing team, maybe 2-3 people, sat dealing with locum doctors, dealing with everything else to do with HR in a hospital,
nurses, bank staff, payroll, everything.
Mm. So I guess that's where we kind of come in and help, really. But it's also having that expertise to guide doctors through what's quite a convoluted process to get to the UK.
Yeah, and I think that's the bit that we found when we did that initial market research. There was a huge appetite, as Tom mentioned, for international doctors to come to the UK. But one of the big issues, or part of the issue for them, was that they were faced with a kind of quagmire of different things that they needed to go through, registrations and different processes and, we'll go into the details of them, but English language requirements and then medical examination requirements and visa requirements and all the many nuances that go with each of those. And I think that's where we kind of set about trying to create something that was going to offer, as Tom coined a phrase many, many years ago, a central point of intelligence for international doctors, somewhere that they could access all of that information in a kind of one-stop shop. And I think one of the big reasons that we wanted to do this podcast is that we can then offer out that information on as many platforms as possible. So for some people, that might be easy to follow us on social media, and hopefully lots of you are already avid readers of the IMG Advisor blog. But yeah, this will give people another platform. Yeah.
I think that's it as well. I mean, I think there's a lot of misinformation out there. Obviously, social media is great, but we have seen instances where certain legislative changes or just basic rumours as well spread like spread like wildfire amongst the international medical graduate community. Because we're doing this day in, day out, this is our careers and jobs. I think it's really important that doctors that are looking to move to the UK get the best possible information and the correct information as well, because it is such a big commitment to move to the UK, and we don't want people kind of being led down these blind alleys or given information that might affect the chances of securing a job in the NHS, which they've worked so hard to get the registration, etc. as well. So, so yeah, you're absolutely right, Tom. We're not a fake news business.
So that's probably a pretty good way to set the scene, I think, for this. And again, just for the podcast as well, as many channels as we can reach, as Daniel mentioned, and Ryan as well, that the blog, the IMG Advisor stuff, the vlogs that we put out, the information, it's not just for people who, you know, people who want to work with us or people that we can help. It's for everybody. So if you're a medical graduate in whatever country that you're living in and you want to move to the UK, you don't have to be working with us to access the blog or the vlogs. It's just information that's out there for everybody. Obviously, we want to help as many people as we can. We hope that you'll pick BDR Resourcing to assist you. But yeah, the podcast, just another medium for us to put that information out there and be helpful, I think.
Yeah, and I think that brings us on to what our kind of vision really was for this business. It started out as a recruitment business, and first and foremost, and that was our backgrounds. But it's become more than that. It's become far more of a crusade. And we recently spoke at one of Nasir Khan's events, his IMG event in London, and we were describing to the crowd there, saying that, you know, this has now become about how can we help all international doctors, one, with their journey to the UK, but then also in raising their profile within the NHS. So we hold a really, really important role in being a kind of middleman, I suppose. We can raise the voices. As some of you may have seen last year when it came to the Scrap the Cat campaign, we were very, very prevalent when it came to that, in raising awareness for international doctors for a business that are based in the UK and have a vast network of connections within the NHS.
Tell us, Dan, why do international doctors benefit from working with us? Why should they use an agent?
Well, I think first and foremost, it's that central point of intelligence thing. So, I mean, all doctors are going to have to go through a lengthy process. It takes literally years to come to the UK and join. So if you're thinking about joining, you're right at the beginning of that journey, be prepared for it to be a really long and arduous journey. It will take a vast personal commitment. It will take financial commitment. It will take time, dedication, commitment. But surely if you're an international candidate, an IMG that's thinking about it, you would want someone who's seen that process hundreds of times over for many, many international doctors and can give you advice at every step of the journey. So, you know, if you're just thinking about sitting your IELTS or OET, we can give you advice about the best routes, the best options for that. For your medical exams, we can give you the best coaching, guidance, advice, connect you with our network of people who've already been through those exams. In terms of finding jobs in the NHS, we've got a network that extends to tens of thousands of NHS employees who can help finding you a role. Beyond that, the whole pre-employment checking, visa process, certificate of sponsorship process, right the way through to relocating here. So, you know, booking flights, finding places to live, finding schools for your children, whatever it might be. I don't believe there's another business out there that can help with a single point of intelligence that can provide all of that information entirely free of charge to anyone that wants it. Whether they're taking a job through us or not, it's completely irrelevant. It's available to all IMGs as part of our service.
So I guess in the second part's the NHS, why would they want to use a company? Because obviously you know, they can. And we touched on the fact that they might be stretched in terms of personnel, but the other parts, I guess, right?
Yeah, actually, funnily enough, I was up visiting a client yesterday in the Midlands, and their whole set of tier two rota is staffed by temporary workers, which I found absolutely crazy. But when I asked the clinical director, I mean, had they looked at international recruitment before? They had done it, but it was the same thing, the same issues that keep coming up, is that they would get doctors that would interview, they would put offer letters out to them, but nobody would ever accept, and nobody would ever start. And it became fairly clear quite early on that it was because the support wasn't there for the doctors. And that's not blaming the NHS, and it's not blaming the kind of medical staffing teams at all, because they're super, super busy. And also, it's quite complex. I mean, it took us, 2 years to understand this process completely. And obviously we made mistakes along the way. But I think it's completely unfair to kind of put the blame on, people who work really hard in the NHS to try and understand something that we do, that we live and breathe this 24/7. So, but that is one of the big issues for NHS clients, really, is that, you know, the benefit of working with a company like us is that you're going to get that 24/7 support. It's an extension of your HR department. And we'll make sure that the doctors arrive and stay as well. I think that's really important, because the pastoral care side of it is really, really important. I think a lot of international doctors, when they first start in the UK, if they've got any problems or difficulties, they don't really know who to speak to. They don't really want to speak to the seniors or consultants, in case it gives them a bad impression. So I think it's nice, because we are genuine partners and friends with these doctors by the time they start in the NHS, that they can come to us and we can raise those issues for them and hopefully solve them before it escalates to stage where the doctor leaves the trust or whatever.
Definitely. I think that probably leads to, I mean, obviously the benefit there for the doctors is that, I guess for anyone listening to this, whether you're working in the NHS or thinking about it or living overseas, is that you get that, I don't want to say hand-holding, because that's maybe a bit patronising, but I guess a good amount of support with all the stuff that Dan mentioned, things like really basic things that I would maybe overlook as someone who lives in the UK, like, how do I get a national insurance number? How do I get a mobile phone? How do I open a bank account? Where are the good places to go to live? What do I need to do to get my kids into a school? All that kind of stuff. And that leads on to staff retention, and therefore, and for the patients and the hospitals, continuity of care. Yeah. And I think that's, not to forget that is at the core of everything that anyone, whatever side you're on or whatever company you work for, wherever you go, that is the main thing that everyone is trying to do, is to look after patients and make sure that they get the service that they need and deserve.
All right. So we could spout on all day about the reasons that we're great and how we can help.
Is but that I think, what we're going to do?
Yeah, well, we'll try and do something for the audience as well, shall we? Let's start. Just in this podcast, we really wanted to outline what we're all about and how we do things and just give people a flavour of what's to come. But I think just to kind of finish this one up to round it off, it would be interesting if we could just talk about, for the sake of the listeners, what the real advantage is. So if you're a doctor from overseas who's just thinking about relocating to the UK, what are the advantages of coming to the UK, of working in the NHS?
Let's split them off. So we've obviously written a few things down before we came in here, but they roll off the tongue pretty easy. The first one is the training and like the education, that sort of, we've written it down as world-class training. There is still a massive appetite, as we've already said, for doctors overseas to come to the UK. A lot of the hospitals have really, really great research programs. They're performing procedures and dealing with different patients that maybe, if you're living in another country, you wouldn't normally get exposure to. And because of the sheer size of it, the NHS is the largest employer in Europe, I think it is, that there are so many different people that you interact with during that sort of treatment pathway when you see patients, that you will constantly be learning, whether that's in a sort of structured professional environment with the Royal College qualifications or working towards a CCT or going into core training for the first time, whatever it is. There is I've already said, I'll say it again, a world-class training opportunity for anyone coming in here. I think it's fair to say that if you're listening to this, you're probably generally interested in coming to the UK or working with international doctors, either one. So you're probably already aware of that. But for me, that's the clinically the main reason that anyone would want to work in the NHS.
I guess another thing as well, Tom, which is I guess the UK gets a bit of a bad rep sometimes as well, but it genuinely is a great place to live. I mean, in terms of it's quite a liberal society, and obviously there's lots of protections for employees, which isn't the case in a lot of different countries. I think education for your children as well is a huge thing. I know speaking to a lot of doctors that I've helped relocate to the UK, that's been such an important thing for them. And again, education in the UK is completely free. I mean, in terms of protection regarding things like maternity leave, paternity leave, if sick leave, all those kind of things. So I think that the UK, as much as it rains and the weather's miserable, but it is. I mean, I obviously born in the UK, born in Scotland.
Definitely used to the rain in Scotland.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, it is a couple of degrees colder up there.
Yeah.
but I guess the work as well is fairly rewarding. I mean, I don't think that you become a doctor if you're not interested in making people feel better about themselves or curing illness. But although that the NHS is under a lot of pressure, and yes, the hours can be long. I guess job satisfaction is a huge thing being a doctor.
I think as well the kind of stability of jobs, because there are so many vacancies. Mm. You are a sought after person if you're a trained doctor working here. You know, you're never going to struggle to find work. You're never going to struggle to find a job. And there is that encouragement to develop people right the way through their careers, because doctors are only needed more senior level.
Mm. Maybe just as well, only because we haven't mentioned it yet, but obviously the NHS in itself as a national health service is free to access. Mm. So you're going to see everybody. I know in some countries that it's largely based on private health and who's got the right insurance and whatnot, but everybody is treated the same in the NHS. And that, in terms of just going back to the rewarding part of it, is amazing, I think.
No, I think you can extend that even further when you're talking about everyone being treated the same. I mean, that's afforded to just in society as general, you know, free access to education, as Ryan mentioned, free access to healthcare.
Diverse.
It's a really diverse community in the UK. It's a great place to be, really.
I think that on that point, Dan, as well, I mean, a lot of, particularly doctors who have never been to the UK, they will say, which locations would you like to work at? And it's always London, Manchester, Birmingham. But I think is what's quite interesting, particularly a lot of the trusts we work with. Actually, the UK is very diverse in terms of communities. I mean, I know that the north of England, just historically because of the coal mining industry or the rest of it, was always welcomed in migrants from all over the world. And right, yeah. I think that's quite a surprising thing for a lot of doctors when we talk to them about individual trusts and locations, that there are the UK is generally fairly diverse in most places.
Definitely. Right, well, I think we've probably talked for too long. Gabrielle's in the room with us looking at us.
We've been talking for way too long.
Hopefully that's given everyone a bit of a flavour for our business, how we can help you, what this podcast series is going to be all about, and of course some of the advantages of working in the NHS. We're going to go on, I think, in the next three or four of these to talk about the actual process, and we're going to break that down a little bit for everyone. So hopefully, if this has been of any interest to anyone out there, you'll stay tuned and perhaps listen to the rest of the series.
Yeah. Hi, Mum, because you'll probably be the only one listening to this first one.
Yeah. Cool. So thank you very much.
Great. Cheers, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Take care.